It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 131 of the Taking Notes Podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Social Robichaud.
And today on the podcast, we talk to IBM's Ed Brill and Kat Mandelstein. And Julian, what did we talk to these fine people about?
It was mostly a Lotusphere 2011 wrap-up. So we tried to kind of hit on the main themes of Lotusphere that we heard from IBM and get some clarification on some of them, like, you know, what is this social business thing, and what does it mean that that there's this new IBMification of the Lotus brand, and some of the ideas and conversations that have been going on sort of socially recently.
Yeah, and we didn't ask the question, which we had penned out originally, was will Lotusphere next year be called Lotusphere? So, Ed, if you want to put a comment or Kat on the blog entry, that would be great.
Well, you know, that's sort of like asking who the next opening speaker is, though, right?
Oh, well, you knew it was Kevin Spacey. I mean, ahead of time, didn't you?
Oh, I've known for years.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's it. It's a good show. It's some really good information. We talk about Symfony. We talk about, you know, IBM and Smarter Planet, believe it or not, and how all that ties into all this. We talk about the memo that went out to IBMers that said, you shall become social, which they didn't really get a memo just pulling your leg. But I did ask a question, you know, what made IBM, you know, go social or be social? And I think Ed answers that as well as Kat. So what else did we cover in there, Julian? A lot, actually.
Yeah, you know what? I think they should just listen and see what else we talked about. How's that?
You always say that to shut me up. You know that?
I do. They just want to hear them talk. They don't want to hear us. They want to hear Ed and Kat.
All right. Let's hear what they had to say.
Hello, we're back with another Taking Notes podcast. And of course, Bruce Elgort is here with me. This is Julian Robichaud. And on the line from IBM, we have Ed Brill. Hello, Ed. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Ed Brill. I am running the messaging and collaboration business for IBM.
Okay. And we also have Kat Mandelstein. Hello, Kat, calling in from Austin, Texas.
Hi there. This is Kat Mandelstein, and I lead worldwide marketing, web, and events for the IBM Collaboration Solutions team.
All right. And actually, Kat was, she was all over Twitter this last week, too, at Lotusphere. And so, I saw her in the hallway once, but saw her on Twitter about 100 times. So I feel like I already know you, Kat.
That's a good thing.
This is in some ways kind of a Lotusphere wrap up or, you know, reflections on Lotusphere sort of podcast, but also just sort of a general, you know, hey, let's talk about IBM and Lotus and where we are and where we're going. So, I think the first big thing that's been really in a lot of the blogs or that people have just been sort of asking publicly is, people are looking for sort of the official word on the IBMification of the Lotus brand. Does this mean that Lotus is finally dead, or has IBM just finally brought Lotus into the fold and it will not be Lotus Notes, it will be IBM Notes? So, Ed, I'm going to let you take that one on.
We have for many years been on a path of using IBM as the company's lead brand. It's the number two most valuable brand in the world, highly recognized in every market. And, you know, WebSphere or System Z or Lotus or, you know, any of our other sort of product lines, not as well recognized. And it sort of dilutes the message and the brand promise overall if you focus too much on any one of them. Now, we're in a unique place with the Lotus products because they're end user facing and a lot of what IBM does isn't. But, establishing those product names as important can still go with a broader IBM message. And that IBM message is really important. It's one that leads when we're talking to companies that are not currently customers of Lotus and, they don't want to conjure up things that they don't know about from the past, either with 1, 2, 3 or earlier versions of Notes. It's a good opportunity to say, you know, we have IBM collaboration solutions, we have IBM social business solutions, we have IBM cloud solutions, and not get disrupted by a bias other than anything towards the best brand in the IT industry. So I think you'll see us lead with IBM a lot more going forward. The product I make is still called Lotus Notes.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. We're also seeing a lot of blurring of products across Software Group as we're taking the best capabilities of different products and blending them together. So if you look at things like in the fall, Cognos announced their Cognos 10 launch, and that includes connections. Some of the products we've launched more recently, like IBM Customer Experience Suite, is a blend of capabilities from across Software Group. So really, as Ed said, IBM being kind of the lead brand, social business being the newest theme within Smarter Planet, and I'm sure you've all seen Smarter Planet advertising and are aware of what IBM's doing with Smarter Planet. So IBM's really behind what we're doing in Lotus around social business, and that brings that to the forefront of the conversations with customers.
All right, so I have a question. I'm going to point this one at Ed. You know, obviously, you know, we've all known you. We've all grown up in the notes and Domino world. So my question to you, Ed, what kind of advice would you give people coming out of Lotusphere 2011, who have been, say, you know, they made their careers out of, you know, Notes and Domino? What advice would you have for them going forward, now that the broader message is IBM portfolio, and more specifically, you know, what kinds of things should they be looking to expand their skill set towards?
Sorry, I'm Kathy's in a coffee house, and I have a 15-month-old, so we have some background noise here at times. But I think that the key here is you don't have to watch what we do with messages to the market as the way to lead what you do as a developer, as a administrator, as a architect, as a consultant. You want to stand for collaboration or social business or client server messaging or cloud application delivery. Those are all things that, you know, can resonate with whatever the product name is and whatever the brand name is. I think the message that we, you know, conveyed at Lotusphere is it is a transition point. It is an opportunity to grasp a broader part of the story. And whether that's delivered one way or another, or whether it's desktop or mobile, whether it's social or collaborative, you know, those are things that are still down to individual interests and decisions. But telling that story within the broader context of not just Notes, but, you know, in embracing the rest of the story is pretty interesting. But if you still want to work on just Notes and Domino, that's great. If you're a developer, you want to learn XPages. If you're an administrator, you want to understand what the cloud offers you in terms of opportunities. If you're an architect, you want to be thinking about how do you modernize your infrastructure. Those are the same decisions that existed a week and a half ago.
Yeah, now I tend to agree. But, you know, from my little, you know, perspective on the world, I mean, I think I realized this maybe a year or two ago, that there was and is, I'm sounding like an IBMer here, but there truly is this broader portfolio of products and services that IBM offers. And I had a situation a little while ago that involved, believe it or not, Cognos, and who would ever have thought that my customer was going to approach me about Cognos. Am I a Cognos expert? No. Do I know a lot more about Cognos at this point? Yes. Was I able to understand what was presented in some of the mini main keynotes by some of the other IBMers about Cognos and social business? Yes. Can I go and sell that to other customers? Yes. So I think, you know, after stepping back from Lotusphere now, a week and a half, two weeks later, that I do get the message. It was a lot different than in years past. So was this something, and I'll point this at Kat first, was this something you guys knew going into Lotusphere, that this was going to be it, that this is going to be something different? And were you prepared possibly for the reaction of the community?
Yeah, we definitely knew it would be different. And given the changes in our portfolio since the last Lotusphere as well, too, knew that we couldn't really go in and just talk notes. And even last year, you saw kind of forward-thinking thoughts about this with Project Vulcan and the blending of our different offerings and then moving to mobile, too. So we knew it would be different. The opportunity around Smarter Planet came our way late in the year last year. The company was behind us, so we really wanted to lead with the social business message.
Ed, what about you?
Well, I mean, you know, it's important for me to, you know, keep telling you a story of where we're going to take Notes and Domino, and but to tell it in this broader context, right? I mean, I had the opportunity to highlight some partners that are doing stuff with not just Notes, but Lotus Live Notes, or doing stuff with, you know, with the cloud in general, doing stuff with X Pages, things that are new. And they're you know, they may not seem new to the four of us on the phone, but remember that the vast majority of the marketplace is not an early adopter, and they're still looking at what we offer, and they're still looking at where their road ahead is. I knew that we had a lot of things to convey this year that had to be different, and I know that a lot of the reaction on the blogs has been, well, I was looking for more product this, or I was looking for more about Notes Next or whatever. And we had plenty of that. It was more in the breakout sessions than the keynotes, but there was plenty of that. What we had to convey in the keynotes was, this is a market that we're going to own. This is a market that IBM understands. We're living the dream ourselves, and you're going to want to come along with us. And, you know, I think that that was successful. It took a while for people to understand that it was successful.
Well, and that was even more so at the Wednesday morning keynote, I think. On Wednesday morning, you know, that was the social business keynote. And, you know, that was, again, very executive focused. But, you know, I actually ended up sitting in the back of the room there. And the guys around me that were wearing suits, that they were eating it up.
Right. And you know, Lotusphere is a challenging conference because we have so many different audiences we're trying to reach in one conference. It's not just a admin or developer conference. It's not just an installed base conference. It's not just a technical conference. So, you know, you have those people, and you definitely have to focus on them. And the messages there can really resonate.
Yeah. Now, Kat, I want to touch back on something you mentioned before about Smarter Planet. And this is something that's always been kind of maybe vague to me. It is really how Lotus Notes or even any of the IBM products kind of tie into the Smarter Planet initiative. Because, I mean, to me, Smarter Planet is kind of, you know, green technologies and things like that. And so I'm kind of fuzzy on how something like Notes or, you know, again, any of the technologies I tend to work with, how they kind of fit into that Smarter Planet message.
Sure. And Smarter Planet is much broader than green. It's really about, how do we transform the world? How do we solve situations in a city, in a company, and help make how they do things smarter. So some of the solutions, for instance, the United Nations uses connections to help their people out in the field actually communicate with each other and get their work done. That's a good example of, you know, Smarter Planet in action using some of our products. So, you know, green is definitely a piece of it, but it's, how are we solving some of the issues in the world, leading with our technology, and IBM's really behind that. We even have a program where we send employees out to work with companies on rolling projects out, kind of like the Peace Corps. So we call that the IBM Employee Service Corps. And we're really behind it, not just from an advertising campaign, but what we believe needs to happen to solve many of the things that are happening in the world.
Okay, and does Lotus Live kind of shoehorn nicely into that too?
Yeah, actually, a good example with Lotus Live, the European colleagues don't like to talk about it, but the volcanoes that happened last year, as far as when people got disrupted on travel, they could continue to have meetings productively using things like Lotus Live.
Okay. And actually, you know, I guess kind of going a totally different direction here, but speaking of Lotus Live, one of the announcements that was made at Lotusphere was Lotus Live Symphony, where that Project Concord is kind of, you know, getting life as Lotus Live Symphony. So, you know, that's going to be competing, you know, pretty much head-to-head with Google Docs in my head. And, you know, I think it's an interesting concept because I use Google Docs a lot and I really like them. But, you know, kind of when is that going to be available to everyone? Is that available now or is that still kind of a beta thing?
So it's in tech preview, and the tech preview is available to some on greenhouse.lotus.com. We'll expand that out this month. So anybody with a Greenhouse or a Lotus Live Labs account will be able to get to it by the end of this month. Ship in the second half of the year or so, but you can at least start to look at it now. Mm. You know, the comparison to Google Docs is inevitable, but we're really not just focused on creating a word processor, a spreadsheet, and a presentation tool in the cloud. We really, or in a browser for that matter, though both of those are technically accurate statements, it's really about the social editing aspects of creating those documents. So I did actually my first Lotus Live Symphony session the other day, where we were working on a response to an industry analyst. And so my team and I, so three of us plus an analyst relations person, were going through the analyst's question-answer document, their questionnaire, and assigning out sections and looking at each other's edits and discussing the options for filling it in. And it was really a much more powerful thing after using something in a team room or whatever asynchronously to have everybody truly collaborating on this document.
Well, and I guess kind of something about Symphony in general, it's always been a bit puzzling for me. Just the fact that it's free. I mean, is Symphony really kind of driving sales for IBM? Because, you know, it's this free product that you're telling everyone, well, just download and start using it. How does that work from the marketing standpoint?
So, you know, my attitude with Symphony is if we can free up IT organization budgets from having to buy commoditized office productivity tools, then they'll have opportunities to invest in more strategic projects, whether that be with us or a competitor. It doesn't really matter to me. It's just the industry has spent so much money on Office for so long that having an alternative that is supported by a company like IBM that costs zero is, you know, really a strategic statement to the market, and obviously one which we practice what we preach on. So if we can run a $100 billion company using Symphony as our primary office productivity tool, you know, you can too, and you can save tens of millions of dollars in office licensing. That's really the approach. Yeah, I mean, it costs money to give it away, but ultimately what we see is we've worked with companies to reallocate their IT budgets and not have to spend what they were spending with other vendors.
Mm-hmm. Or you could charge for Symphony and give away Notes and Domino.
I think that the difference in approach is Notes and Domino is a infrastructure. It's a client server system. You've got so many moving parts. It's easy to give away a desktop tool like Symphony. It's a little harder to do that around Notes and Domino. But we certainly have ways to minimize costs in Express or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Ed, there were some announcements that were made about the Domino utility server. You want to talk about those?
Yep. Sure. So we made sort of a two-part announcement in that we have been looking to solve the problem of I'm looking to move to the cloud for mail and collaboration. What do I do with my Domino applications? And the answer had been keep those applications on premises, but customers were saying it's too complicated from a licensing perspective. I don't know if that makes sense for me. So the new Domino utility server for Lotus Live takes the per user client access license out of the equation for those customers who are moving to Lotus Live for mail and collaboration. They can just use the Notes client that's part of Lotus Live along with the new version of the Domino utility server. And then they just pay for servers. They don't have to pay on a per user basis anymore for those Domino applications. So it allows you to sort of view your Domino applications investment as distinct from the Lotus Live investment around mail and collaboration. And I think that that will give companies the opportunity to invest more in their Domino apps and not have to look at it as a pay for everyone situation. Now it's a pay for anyone situation. So that was part one. Part two was that IBM is offering that service now in our cloud offering, in the IBM cloud, in a production environment, which is new. We had done it for developer and test. Now we offer production images that pay as you go. It's a couple of pennies an hour. You know, it's really an attractive way to not have to run those servers in your data center. There's still, you know, the responsibility to manage directory and admin and all that, but I get the servers off premises into an IBM cloud environment that I can scale up or scale down through, you know, pay as you go. You can bring the licenses you already have or pay them on hourly rates. You know, a very, very flexible deployment model for Domino applications in the cloud.
Just to clarify, Ed, you mentioned it's either bring your own licenses or you can actually lease licenses through the cloud offering?
That's right. I did the calculation yesterday. It's like, you know, it can be as little as 90 cents an hour for a Domino utility server running on the IBM cloud or the Amazon cloud. So, yeah, you don't have to buy a license. You can pay as you need.
Well, and that's a neat announcement just, you know, for kind of the old diehard Domino folks, too, because it's always been difficult to figure out the licensing or the costs around running a Domino app on the internet and allowing people to log in. And now there's a very straightforward way to do it. So I think that's cool. All right. So next up on our kind of agenda here, you know, we're just going to kind of make this quantum leap over to another topic that kind of came out of Lotusphere, because, you know, the Lotusphere theme was be social, do business, or maybe the opposite. And so social, you know, let's have a discussion about that. And Ed, I'm not sure if this should be you or Kat first, but, you know, I'm going to ask Kat directly because, you know, she hasn't talked in a few minutes. And also because Kat was kind of all over Twitter. Now, you know, social business, you know, as a concept, how is social business that IBM is pushing different from, say, Twitter?
So social business that IBM is pushing is kind of a mix of public social, things like Twitter, but also within your firewall, having the ability to connect and collaborate with your customers, with your partners, with other employees in a safe and secure way. You don't really want your company secrets out on Twitter or being shared in Facebook or Google Docs. So both from a communicating out to your customer via the web, and then also inside of your firewall or, you know, your extended intranet with those that you trust, how do you collaborate differently? How do you behave more socially as you would in a social network to, you know, discover things more quickly, find the right people, share expertise, share ideas, and be more productive?
Well, and how much of that is sort of IBM future direction, you know, kind of where they want to go versus what you've actually got now as products?
So where we've got now with products, many of you who went to Lotusphere were part of the community we set up for Lotusphere, which is built on Connections 3. Connections 3 has a lot of that capability, and then you bring in things like our UCC products, Quicker, the cloud offerings that Ed talked about. A lot of it is there today. You'll see further enhancements as we move forward, and the lines will blur between product to product. But a company, and even IBM itself, you know, 365,000 of us leverage Connections internally to collaborate and communicate. And I can tell you firsthand, having been in IBM 13 years, it's made a huge difference.
And I have a question here. Did someone put out the mantra within IBM to say, okay, all of you IBMers out there, all 400,000 of you, learn to be social, get a Twitter account, get a LinkedIn account, do whatever. Did that kind of message come out within IBM? I mean,
it never has, no. you know, the social media process at IBM has been really viral. I was part of a group about 6 years ago now that we wrote the first social media guidelines. I think Sandy Carter mentioned them in the OGS last week, that, you know, we were basically trying to say the company is not going to hold this against you. And in fact, we want you to do this. And it was really transformational because until that point, if you think about it, you really didn't know individual IBMers. Sure, everybody knew Lou Gerstner or whatever, but, you know, we really had a corporate culture that frowned on individualism, you know, prior to around that 2005-2006 timeframe. And then this effort was part of our recognition that the more we establish individual voices, that will establish credibility and authority with customers and expertise, and we'll also be able to make it easier to do business with IBM by doing so. You know, there's no requirement for participation. I don't goal my team on, you know, why aren't you on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or blogging or whatever? I don't think every single person in an organization needs to be a creator, a talker, a attention seeker, whatever. But you will inevitably have that set of personalities within any company. And then the participation comes from learning what the thought leaders establish in the conversation. And that, I think, has been incredibly successful for us.
Well, is there a tweeting policy, kind of like there's a blogging policy?
Yeah, it expanded. Yeah, it expanded. So the original one was around blogging and expanded around social media to include the other social networks. And it, you know, talks about indicating that you are speaking as yourself. You know, these opinions are my own. You know, you wouldn't put something out there you wouldn't feel good about putting out there as far as tone. And to give some guidance, and we were one of the first companies to establish those social media guidelines, and a lot of companies have looked to IBM's example to build theirs the last few years.
Obviously, there's a lot of competition out in the social world right now, you know, whether it's companies like Jive or Google or Microsoft or Social Text. You know, what does IBM bring to the table other than that broad portfolio of products and services that clearly would make a CIO, right, or a CXO think and go IBM?
A couple of things as far as the staying power. Some of the upstarts, you know, do have very innovative solutions, but the staying power and reliability and, you know, the breadth of the software and services isn't necessarily there. And then also we have done it ourselves. So learning from experience, and we have put a lot of money into research as well. So you did see some of the things from our Center for Social Software. IBM invests a lot in research as far as where the future direction is going to, where some of the other companies may not be making that same investment.
Yeah. How about you, Ed? I know you probably get this question a lot.
So why IBM in this case? I mean, again, the thinking of the online digerati is that, you know, there's a lot of companies at the leading edge of this, but you don't have to be at the leading edge of this. There's still millions of businesses around the world that aren't leveraging social business. And, you know, if we get some small percentage of that opportunity, we'll be an incredibly successful player in this market, and we'll have evangelized it in a way that it can grow into an even bigger market. So I feel like, you know, we're at just the right time to have established that, you know, yeah, we may not have had every fiddly-foo first piece of this, but we can put it together better than anyone. We have the expertise in industry solutions better than anyone. We have the ability to service the whole story better than anyone. And, you know, then we have the proof points of being able to run, you know, some of these applications and solutions on technologies that have been in the market and proven for decades.
Yeah. Just a funny little interesting story. You know, I was down in Florida a few days before Lotusphere visiting with my parents who live down there. And I had the opportunity to sit on the golf course, Gail and myself, with some executives from some pretty large companies. You know, obviously they're not working, they're golfing. But when I talked about social business and companies like Google and, you know, some of the others, and I mentioned IBM, the reaction I got from them about IBM was like a very positive one. They understood IBM. They knew who they were. And I'm not trying to suck up here, but it just blew me away when we started talking about social stuff, social business, that their inclination, without me just trying to pull it out of them, was that they knew who IBM was, they know what they do, and they're, you know, a trusted brand that they've used before in their careers. But again, Good.
You've brought this all the way back to the start of the conversation, right? So if you had led that conversation with Lotus, you might not have had as positive a reaction, right? But the IBM brand is the second most valuable brand in the world. It's incredibly well recognized and established. And the association, even if there's not, you know, a direct awareness, the unaided awareness is going to be very high of the brand in these kind of thought leadership areas because of the kind of marketing and activities that we do do.
Mm-hmm. What if we were to ask Watson, what would Watson say?
It would depend on the probability.
He wouldn't say what he said at Lotusphere about the Beatles, right? And for those of you who weren't there, right, what's the – this was the category of laundry detergents, I believe. And what was something of the Beatles? A nickname for the Beatles, Julian? Do you remember?
A three-letter word that's, you know, kind of also a nickname of the Beatles, right, or something like that.
And the correct answer was Fab, right? The laundry detergent Fab. But what did Watson say, Julian?
Oh, I don't know, Bruce. What did he say?
He said gay.
Ah.
Okay.
Well, I guess, you know, maybe that's a good question. Well, and I will have to say that, you know, I can't wait for IBM Watson to be part of the IBM portfolio.
The sidebar plugin.
Yeah, you just let me know when we can start selling that.
Yeah.
and I'll put a plug in for on February 14th is when we're actually going to see Watson play the two grand champions. They had a great Nova special on two nights ago on PBS, but on February 14th, Watson's going to actually play two of the grand champions of Jeopardy, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, Kat, who is going to win, Watson or the meatbags?
That's a good question. I'm rooting for Watson, but we'll see how the meatbags do.
What about you, Ed?
I just think that Liz Novak should get on Real Jeopardy.
Yeah. No, I personally think that, you know, the humans don't stand a chance. Watson will crush them. And that will just be kind of all she wrote. And also, just, you know, we always talk about, you know, kind of marketing and advertising and, you know, the Dennis Leary days and stuff like that. If you can get Todd Allen Crane on some IBM commercials or something like that, that guy was very funny and very personable. I liked him.
Or Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, sure. He might be a little more expensive.
Right. Yeah, but IBM stock price is $163 a share. You know, they bring tremendous shareholder value. No, like kidding. God, your messaging worked.
Yeah, I think you know. I think whether the humans win or not, you know, it's an incredible demonstration of what pure science and research can result in. You know, we're not looking to sell a Watson, right? But that's the kind of investment you're not going to see from every old company. And I think it's going to be really game-changing in understanding what our industry is capable of doing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as a programmer, I find just the whole concept of Watson completely fascinating and probably way over my head.
Yeah, you're reminding me to set my DVR right now to record it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week.
Well, and also, if you missed the Nova special, it's actually on the PBS website.
Yeah, I read they did a live blog too while it was on from the guys. It was great, and you really, you know, learn a lot about the technology behind the technology. This is really, you know, everywhere you look, there's some other vector to this that you didn't really think about until you know, see what the backstory is. It just works so naturally and effectively that you can't imagine everything they've thought of here. Andrew McAfee had a good blog about it as well.
Well, and also bringing it back to the social thing. I mean, who would have thought you would have IBM researchers live blogging an episode of Nova?
Or tweeting back to people who asked if they were on Twitter.
Right, exactly. It's, you know, I think it's neat. It's you know, you think of researchers, you know, in specifically, but kind of IBM in general as being, you know, sort of this, you know, living inside this big walled garden. And, you know, it's just neat to kind of see people poking their heads out and talking back. It's fun. And in a good way, of course.
Yeah. Parting words, Kat, for the Taking Notes audience about all things social business and or Lotusphere.
Well, the story's just really begun. You'll hear a lot more from us. We've got a number of webcasts. If you aren't familiar with the social media aggregator we had out there for the conference, be sure to go back and check that out. It has all the replays of the live streams, a lot of great user-generated videos. We captured a lot of video on site we'll be putting up with customers and additional sessions. And this is just the beginning for social business in IBM.
And Mr. Brill.
You know, this is an exciting evolution time. You know, I love what we have to sell today and the solutions that we're all collectively making in the market. And, you know, I'm excited to prepare for the next few years of this innovation and change. So, yeah, you know, keep with us.
Okay. Mr. Robichaux, any parting words?
No, I think I've used up all my words for this morning, Bruce.
All right.
It was good talking to you guys, though.
Yeah,
thank you very
here.
Much for getting online.
Great talking to you, too.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to episode 131 of the Taking Notes podcast. For those of you who did not hear, we have an episode with a gentleman named Angel Diaz from IBM. He's from the open source group with inside of IBM, and be sure to take a listen to that episode, which we're going to backfill when this episode is published. So again, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you all real soon.